We have a few announcements tonight, as usual, even though it is Christmas. First of all, we'll have morning watch in the morning at 7 o'clock in the prayer garden. Speaker will be Charles Wilson, and Rose and Becky Payne will provide special music. The auditions that had been announced for Friday and Saturday will meet in a different place. The times will be the same, Friday from 8 to 10 o'clock in the morning, from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday from 8 to 10 o'clock in the morning. However, instead of the staff auditorium, they will meet in the music office, room A. These are auditions for the talent show. The talent show will be next Wednesday night. So if you're interested, come by and audition. Conducting class will meet Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock instead of tomorrow afternoon. Our Bible study this next week will be led by Dr. Graves, who is the Dean of the School of Religious Education at Southern Seminary. There will be no dorm meetings tonight, and that means that the curfew will be 11 o'clock instead of 10:30 tonight. There's a list up in the dining hall for anyone who's interested in the Christmas reunions assigned. Some of you aren't too familiar with this, and I'm not real familiar either because I've never been to one. This is my first summer here too. But in past years, they have had a reunion during the Christmas holidays for the staffers of the past summer who would like to come. Where it will be will depend on what you as staffers, those of you who are interested in having a reunion, decide. Last year it was at Gulfport. Before that it was in Florida. So it's up to you. If you're interested at all, sign the list, and then we'll have a meeting a little bit later.
For those of y'all who weren't present at breakfast, I was asked to tell again the experience that we had last night as carolers. There were two groups that went. Our group went at 9 o'clock, and we caroled around through the assembly grounds and ended up at the Illinois cabin. We went in and began singing, and as we began singing, they began passing a bowl around, and we collected some money. First it was $11, and then I guess we either sounded real good or real bad one, because one guy pulled out a 20, and then another guy followed suit, and he pulled out a 22. And would Johnny Carr please come forward? On behalf of the carolers and the people from Illinois, I'd like to present this $53.75 for Lottie Moon.
And they will sing two numbers for you now. The first is Carol of the Bells, and then How Beautiful Are the Feet of Him from the Messiah.
glad tidings, glad tidings.
We'd like to welcome you to perhaps another way of celebrating this Christmas in July. Tonight, we should like to present to you a dramatic selection entitled A Byline for St. Luke. The cast appearing will be Luke Cameron, played by Ray Mize, Carol Prescott by Carol Lacey, Myrtle Shankey by Lila Ruth, Clive Duncan by Sam Hall, Mrs. Louisa Hargrave by Noel Farrell, Hetty by Vicki Herlove, Joe Bannon by Sandy Scalco. The assistant director for this production was Miss Zoe Burrows. Assisting with makeup were Mrs. Janice Willett and Miss Nan Jones. Props and set were provided by the auditorium staff. And now, if we may dim the lights, prepare yourselves for another way of Christmas. We should like to present to you A Byline for St. Luke. Thank you.
Everybody had better be up now.
Just a minute, y'all. Just that animal killed while he's fishing.
For the love of...
Hey, Joe, why don't you get out here and start making up your city page?
You'll tell Buck to...
Tut-tut, y'all. Remember the no profanity rule in the office.
I haven't got time to check this now, Carol. Can I take your word that it's okay?
You can put my byline on it, Joe.
Buck says, don't you know it's Christmas Eve? What's a byline, Joe?
What have I got to do with you? You, of course, in journalism, 5 minutes of press time?
Hey, Myrtle, I've got this one. Hello.
Joe Bannon?
Yes, Miss Hargrave?
Who wrote the housing story yesterday?
Why, I handled it myself, Miss Hargrave.
I'm surprised at you, Joe. The mayor tells me there are 31 trailers in that camp. Your story stated 25.
That's the dope I had.
We can't have inaccuracies in this paper.
Pardon, Mrs. Hargrave. Several of those trailers just moved in there this morning.
Indeed. Well, let's be careful about these things in the future. I see you're all entering the spirit of Christmas. I hope you haven't been careless with tonight's edition.
We're okay. They'll be rolling in 5 minutes.
Well, I have no objection to your going to press early tonight.
Mrs. Scrooge, any other paper wouldn't even put in an edition on Christmas morning.
What's the byline, Carol?
The mayor's been asking Mrs. Hargrave again. Must be an emergency to get that politician to let the people go.
The president and the governor of the Chamber of Commerce are in there. I can't see how, in her position as publisher of the only paper in this town, she can be so cold-blooded about this department idea.
Are they talking about Hargrave House again?
What else could they be talking about, darling? Our town faces the same emergency every town is faced sooner or later when a new industry locates in it. Something has to be done about homes for the workers. Well, that story you and Joe were just talking about now. Families living in makeshift trailers when they could afford decent apartments. Here is Louisa Hargrave, our own boss, with the key to the essence of the whole situation. She's finished Hargrave House, which could more than take care of those couples. But she's going to refuse to allow couples with children to rent them.
Don't get wrought up. Landlords always have had, always will have that view.
I just wish somebody around here could make Louisa Hargrave see the human viewpoint. What a Christmas gift she could give to these overcrowded, bewildered towns. The Hargrave House, ready for occupancy by couples with children.
What's the byline, Luke?
You mean to tell me you've been working here for a whole week and you haven't been aware of my bylines? The Shelton case, the dog pound investigation,
don't... Pay no attention to them, Teddy. It's a line at the top of the story telling who wrote it. A story has to be good to write one, and you take all the responsibility for it. See? Now, yeah.
Bill, he wants to know if you can use an article on some candle fire. Nobody was hurt.
I'll take it. Go ahead, Bill.
Bullock, Myrtle Shanks is about to climb up in the house for Christmas Eve blowout.
Better proofread that again, Hotshot. You'll never get a byline on that. You know Mrs. Hargrave fires anyone who dreams up a false story.
Better invite him over. I'm going to take that big lug Luke down to Mother's yesterday and spend them all there.
I don't see how you can stand that guy out of the office. He thinks the world rises and sits on newspapers. I bet when you're near, he does a feature on your honeymoon.
There's only one feature I let him write, and that would be on opening Hargrave House, too.
Right, Bill. Go on home. Merry Christmas. Trite, for it's no more than a paragraph.
Why do you want it, press time? A murder?
Nope. Christmas story. Golly, the Christmas story. We just could have covered that.
If you'd go to Sunday school, you'd know it had been covered pretty well.
But can you imagine me turning loose on it?
We're betting on what could be the biggest story that ever hit this town. If Louisa Hargrave would just open her heart, why, we could spread more joy to these people looking for apartments than we ordinarily could in a decade of Christmases. I'm going in there to see her.
No, you don't. You leave Mrs. Scrooge alone.
Maybe she'll see the ghosts of Christmases past, present, and future tonight and come down to the office Monday a changed woman.
If they ever walk, I hope they walk tonight.
Last call.
On my desk is a paragraph.
Look, Charles, a mistletoe.
Don't. You're worth to look like that.
The trouble with this office is there's just no romance.
Now, if you were Clark Gable...
Dad. I'm clearing out. I'm not even going to wait for tonight's edition.
You're not going to let this housing situation get us down, are you?
The housing situation bothers me, too. Myrtle, can I go with you?
I have told you, Clive Duncan, I do not want you cluttering up my Christmas Eve. You are nothing but a lone reporter, and you are bound to clutter. Besides, you obviously do not consider any... sacred. Judging from what happened on our most recent social engagement.
Ye God, that means two parents now are supposed to register for his marriage.
Well, come on. I have a ticket. You're here to join our family service tonight. Don't forget your package, my sweetie.
Aren't we going to? Are we going to?
Something is happening, Luke. I feel it.
Another one of your hunches.
No, there's something about Christmas Eve. Makes you feel as if something mighty and breathless is happening. We'd better get into action. We've got a long time.
You're right. We've got to get out of here. Your mother is going to meet her new son-in-law-to-be, I hope, tonight. Boy, is she ever going to fall in love with me? And why shouldn't she? The daughter's getting a mighty handsome guy. Intelligent, has a good job, is tops in his position. Can cover anything it ever broke.
Scotty can't solve the Westchester proposition of people who need a partner. I still think I'm going in there and talk to that woman.
No, you don't. Listen, Joe's got the presses old. Thorn fast work, I'd say.
Hot off the press. And I do mean off the press.
I've told you a million times. Boy, did she pounce on the paper. Hope you didn't make any errors tonight.
Let's get going, kids. Let's get away from here. All the whole of it. Well, she sees the stuff that didn't get in. Dad.
Had to let a lot of darn... Luke, you would give me the best story of the day at the last minute.
You didn't get that scrip in time.
Of course I did. Doggone if I couldn't swear on Santa Nick's lap right now. Had to let a lot of yarn slip through without checking. It needs our jobs if anything's wrong. That last one of yours, for instance.
Oh, let's go, let's go. Let's get away before she...
No.
Yes, Miss Hartgrave?
Well, it looks all right, Joe.
We're pretty tight. Three columns of holdovers.
How strange. Beautifully done. Is this on the level? I'm sorry, but where did we get it?
The first story? Cameron wrote it at the last minute.
Pardon, Joe. Carol covered the keels loading berth. Isn't her byline on it?
She's not talking about that.
A baby born in a stable on Christmas Eve. Just like that other. If that won't bring the significance of Christmas home to Westchester, nothing can. Even me, Joe.
We should have a picture, but...
When he was born, they told his mother, there was no room for them in the inn. As a child, I used to find that heartbreaking. As a woman, I'm beginning to see where I've shut the door in his face just as cruelly as they did in Bethlehem. Thank goodness I've come to my senses. Forget that holdover, Joe. I'll have quite a story for you on Monday. Nobody rents an apartment in Hargrave House without having a child.
Holy smokes. I mean, Miss Hargrave, do I...
Mrs. Hargrave, bless you. I know what you must have thought, and I don't blame you. This story did for me what the mayor and the president of the Chamber of Commerce couldn't put across. What a weird coincidence that it should happen now. If it weren't in my own paper, by one of my own trusted writers, I'd feel it was a sacrilegious taunt. But I can believe it. A sign I shall give unto you. That's in the Bible too, Joe. It surely is a God-given sign. We don't have any additional information, do we? I'd like to contact that mother.
You don't have anything left in your story, do you? Guess not, Miss Hargrave.
Never mind. I'll get in touch with Skinny Wheeler's health office. It should be in his district, and he'd better be on duty. I'd like to visit her. Maybe there should be a wise woman present. The poor dear.
Well, I'm...
Not now, Joe. Not of all times now. Luke, ghost of Rocky tonight. The ghost of the ghost of Scrooge. The ghost of Christmas is past and present. What is that Christmas story anyway?
I don't get it. I don't... What? Oh, my.
Oh, Luke, this is wonderful.
unable to find a room in a near, unable to find shelter in this overcrowded city, a woman tonight wrapped her firstborn son in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger of a stable located on East 53rd Street at the outskirts of a residential district. No doctor was in attendance at the birth, which first became known when night watchmen were unaccountably attracted to the scene by the unusual brilliance in the desolate farm. The husband of the woman said he had been unable to find a room in a nearby hotel.
Better tell Bill to look out for a follow-up.
It's not Bill's story, Joe.
But I thought he phoned.
It's not Bill's story, Joe. He phoned on something else.
Okay. I don't blame you for wanting to take full credit for it. Where did you get the tip?
Oh, I'm a smart guy.
It's a beautiful story, darling. But don't let it go. Where'd you get it?
Where'd I get it? The preacher gave it to me.
Well, that preacher did more than he knows for this town. I heard her right, didn't I, Carol? She's opening Hargrave House to people with children.
She is, Joe. She really is. It's a Christmas miracle if there ever was one. The awakening of Mrs. Scrooge.
What a layout that's going to make on Monday. It'll be Christmas all over again. Well, I got to be getting home and raising Mary Noel with the family. Did I tell you what I got, Jackie? A train.
Yeah, you told us, Joe.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas, Joe. Aren't we going to the
loop? I don't think I'll go, Carol.
Darling, now what's the matter?
Sweetheart, everything in this world.
But you look so stunned. What is it?
That story.
What about?
Carol, I don't know how to tell you this. It's a fake.
A fake?
It's a horrible mistake. But not a line of the truth, that is.
You mean the Christmas story? The one Mrs. Hargrave?
Yes. Yes, that one.
Oh, Luke, how could you?
I didn't mean to. That irresponsible Hetty. Well, not her fault. I can't blame her.
But how?
Remember, I told you I was going to write the original Christmas story, the way it'd be handled around here. I was batting it out. Bill called on some silly candle fire or something. Then I was talking to you, and that kid came in and he picked up the wrong piece of copy by mistake. Joe didn't have the time to check it. Slid right through. I didn't come to my senses and see you were reading in tonight's Tribune. It's even too late then to keep the papers off the street.
She'll never stand for that.
There's no reason why she should. It's unforgivable. I wasn't in her place, especially with the reputation of the unvarnished truth she built in this paper.
It'll be an awful blow to her. I know her better than the rest. The story inspired her faith again. When she knows she's been hoodwinked, she'll go to the opposite extreme. It was faulty reporting on this same paper once that caused her to make a fool of herself in a charity donation. She's never forgotten. That's why she's been so strict.
A few minutes ago, I was bragging about the job I had, the reputation I'd built up. Now, balloon! So you see, we don't go to your mother's.
We can't let it make a difference there, Lou.
But it does make a difference. Anyway, I'm thinking of Joe. He bears responsibility for it even more than I do. He hasn't been here long either. Won't be easy for him to find another job. She wouldn't overlook it for past reputation. Afraid his family won't have such a Merry Noel after all.
But why didn't you tell him?
Oh, Christmas Eve? Didn't have the heart. Dear, you better go on home now. I'll see her and explain. If I can get to her before she finds out the truth, maybe I can swing them all a blame.
Oh, my dear, didn't you understand? She's checking now.
Cameron?
Yes, Mrs. Hargrave?
I've gotten in touch with Skinny Wheeler.
But please, let me explain.
Cameron, you know what this means.
Perfectly, but let me explain.
We can't have inaccuracies on this paper. I tried to make myself clear on that matter.
Yes, Mrs. Hargrave.
Mistake?
We can't have mistakes in this paper. I've told you that many times. You can pick up your check from the cashier day after tomorrow.
Yes, Mrs. Hargrave.
I don't ordinarily pay a bonus for exceptional stories, much less one with an error in it. But, yes, it isn't much, but perhaps we can raise your salary after the first. It seems you get around when the news breaks.
Well, look here, I don't get this.
All I'm asking is that you get the facts straight after this. That birth occurred at 11:45 p.m. today, not at 10:30 as you had it. Quite a difference.
11:45?
To a reader, to that mother, such little points are of utmost importance. I'm going down and see the girl. She may be glad to know she's getting the first department in Hargrave House.
You mean there really was a birth?
I'm telling you, it was at 11:45 p.m. Try to be more careful in the future. Young man, what in the world?
Young to Mrs. Tubman, Mrs. Hargrave.
Well, really. Good night. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Hargrave. Oh, yes, Merry Christmas, Mistletoe and Dee. You get an accurate follow-up on that story for Monday, Luke Cameron.
Lucy, don't you had me scared. You didn't make that story up after all.
I guess I didn't.
Who was the minister that tipped you off?
My namesake in the Bible.
Bible? Saint Luke?
Yeah, St. Luke. I thought I was being smart. Thought the old boys didn't cover it the way I could. I rewrote the story the way I thought it should be written. I used the facts anyone knows. Only added local streets to make it a local yarn.
I don't believe it. She just checked. Everything was true except the time.
Yeah, the time. She said the birth occurred at 11:45. Carol, don't you remember? We went to France at 10:30. Now what would make me write a story before it happened?
Louis, the Hargrave was right, Luke. It was a sign. I think I prayed tonight for something to happen to make her open her heart.
Wrapped her firstborn son in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped. Something mighty and fearful is at work. Don't you feel frightened?
Frightened? And the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy which shall be to all people. Carol, you can credit that byline to St. Luke.
George seeing and hearing the Christmas play, a byline for St. Luke. I want to again say a big thank you to the staff choir for their wonderfully fine concert of last Sunday afternoon. How grateful we are for Gail and Janet. These days of Christmas we know have meant much to you. You have blessed many Ridgecrest folks with your caroling. The first training union week is over and the second starts tomorrow. There will be the same number or about the same number to register from the records so far. Many expressions of good work have come to me concerning the way you have served our guests. How grateful we are for the wonderful way in which you are carrying on. I am counting on you to continue to do your very best. Let me share with you this story about the first Christmas tree. written a number of years ago by Mrs. George Simpson of Texas. She was at that time chaplain of the Texas Auxiliary to the Gideons. Have you wondered who put the first gift on the first Christmas tree? To most of us, Christmas means celebrating the birth of Christ, and so the word Christ Mass came into being, or Christmas, as we spell it now. We send gifts one to another, remembering how the shepherds went to the manger to worship, and how the wise men came later from afar with their gifts. But there were no Christmas trees at that time with gifts hanging from the branches. It was 33 years later that the first Christmas tree stood erect in Palestine out the side city walls on a hill. Who planted that tree? What gift was placed on that tree? It is a wonderful story. But listen first and think just how long before Christmas do you plan your gifts? How much have you to spend? To whom are you going to give gifts? And especially, just how nice the gifts may be for just as little as they may cost. All of us do that. We have so many friends, and we want to remember them all. Well, God planned, too, a long time ago. The gift was to cost him very, very much, and it was to be given to all the world. The gift was his son, who came to this earth as a baby, who was not put on the cruel tree until he was a man. And so it was when the son was 33 years old that a tree of the forest was cut down and was stripped of all its leaves and branches so that a part of the tree could be placed across the big trunk and nailed together, then stood upright in the ground. The tree was not pretty like our decorated trees, gay with tinsel and lights, but an ugly thing from which men and women would rather hide their eyes. And then God hung his wonderful gift for men on that very tree. Just think, God did not forget to remember every person on earth with his gift. He said he loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received gifts at Christmas time and then waited until February or maybe April to open the packages? Who ever heard of such a thing? Such excitement, big eyes searching the packages for clues, ears listening while we shake, noses smell, and fingers press with interest. At daylight on Christmas morning, we tear into the paper and ribbons, and with screams of delight, we enjoy the contents, then hurry to thank the giver, either vocally or with a thank you letter. And then we tell our friends all about the lovely things we have been given. But after God gave his Son the matchless gift on the tree to men, how many have waited to accept God's gift? Do people refuse to accept gifts at Christmas? Can it be possible that men will refuse to value a gift from God that will last for all eternity? Will they put it off, not from month to month, but from year to year, accepting God's gift? Now listen to a secret. Some of us have accepted Christmas gifts and enjoyed them, and then not shown appreciation to the giver. I have you? But I believe of all the gifts I have ever received at any time in my life, the most wonderful is the one that God gave me, his Son. God wants to be thanked. So we say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now I want to tell everyone I know, and strangers too, all about my great gift. For God did not give me something that cost him nothing, but he gave his Son, who left his home in heaven, was born as a baby, grew up to be a man, went to the cross and bore our sins in his own body on a tree. We find that record on 1 Peter 2:24. Wonderful gift on a wonderful tree. Does it mean to you what it means to me? It was still, oh, very still, out on Calvary when God hung his Christmas gift, Christ, upon the tree. Now when Christmas candles shine, now when Yule logs sing, Christians hush and bow the head, once remembering when God hung his Christmas gift, Christ, upon the tree. I know your giving to the staff Christmas offering will bless your life. Now, you listen while I read our scripture. This is the greatest spiritual gift. Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have no love, I am become a clanging brass or a clashing cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I sell all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it avails me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love makes no parade, is not puffed up, is not rude, nor selfish, nor easily provoked. Love bears no malice, never rejoices over wrongdoing, but rejoices when the truth rejoices. It knows how to be silent. It is trustful, hopeful, patient, enduring. Love never fails. But though there are prophecies, they will fail. Though there are tongues, they will cease. Though there is knowledge, it will be superseded. For our knowing is imperfect, and our prophesying is imperfect. But when the perfect is come, then the imperfect will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, felt like a child, thought like a child. Now that I am become a man, I have done with childish things. For now we see as in a mirror, and are baffled, but then face to face. Now I know in fragments, but then shall I understand, even as I also have been understood. Faith, hope, love, endure. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now may we stand for just a moment and bow our heads in silent prayer for just a moment. Our Father in heaven, how grateful we are for this opportunity and privilege to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, during this particular time in the summer, when we can all be together. How grateful we are to Thee for the love that Thou hast for every one of us and the gift that You have given to us. Help us to be grateful. Help us to always remember to say thank You. And as we have accepted this gift from You, help us to share it with others that they too may have the joys and the blessings that we have from the gift that Thou did give us. Help us to tell others about the gift that You have given in order that they may have the joys that come from being a Christian, a follower of Thee. Now bless everyone who is here. Bless the families from whence they come. How grateful we are for every one of them. We'd ask that as we go through the coming week and the days ahead, that we'll do our very best for Jesus' sake. Amen. Good night, and may each of you have a good night's rest.